And good morning. Welcome to the KRFY Morning Show for this beautiful day of Wednesday, October 5th. I'm Chris Bessler. I'm your host today. I am in the studio as your sole co-host. Your sole host today, as my co-host, my normal co-host Susie is gone for this particular day. But we are going to have a great morning show for you today. We're in our every Wednesday campaign coverage for the 2016 election, and the race we're covering today is the sheriff's race, and we have in the studio with us the writing candidate, Terry Ford. Terry, say hi, just so folks can hear you.
Morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here. I want to say at the top of the show that we also invited your opponent, the incumbent, Darrell Wheeler. Sheriff Wheeler could not make it in, so we are proceeding with just you today, Terry. And we are going to have a good discussion about the issues and where you stand on them and your opinion of why people should be voting for you on November 8th when they go to the polls. But first, we're going to check in on a few things going on around town. The weather, of course, there's always the weather going on, and it's looking like rain. We have a 50% chance of showers today, mainly starting after 11 a.m., tonight, there's a 20% chance of showers, and the high today is going to be only 52 degrees, the low tonight at 38. Tomorrow, it's pretty much the same, high of 52, low of 39, good chance of rain. Friday, rain likely, high of 50, right into the weekend when there's a 50% or better chance of showers. So get out the raincoat. It's going to be a rainy period that we're getting into now. Also going on outside, we had the sunrise this morning at 6:50 a.m. It's going to set tonight at 6:17 p.m. Our days are getting shorter, and over the past week, we've lost 25 minutes per day of daylight. That's kind of tough for us as we approach this time of year and get into winter, but it's part of the pleasures, actually, as well, of living up north. The lake level is dropping quickly now. It's this morning it's at 2059.8 feet. It's come down 1.6 feet over the past week. It's now projected to drop another 2 feet in the course of this next week as it gets down to the winter pool level. So folks with boats out there might want to consider it's going to be getting time to pull them out of the lake before the water gets too low on the ramps. Also, it's going to be the first quarter moon on Saturday, and Saturn's also up in the sky these nights. So if we were to get a little spot of clearing, you would be able to see Saturn in the sky to the left of the moon. And also going on around town this week, it's been an interesting week here. A couple of the things that have happened that were of note was that the solar roadways installation was finally installed. Terry, I don't know if you saw that yet. It's in the Jeff Jones Town Square.
I have, yes.
Okay. They actually had a couple of chances to do an installation unveiling with a bit of fanfare, and there was quite a bit of media from around not just the region, but there were some national coverage of this as well, because there's been a lot of interest in the solar roadways project. And they had well over 100 people for the first unveiling on Friday, and I think they had a similar number again on Saturday. And they do have the solar roadways tiles in place now, and anybody can go by at any time and see them installed there at the Jeff Jonestown Square at Main and Third, I believe that is. And it's pretty interesting, actually. You can see how you can see that they can actually light up. There's also a control panel where you can see more information about the tiles. And I will say this, there's also a always on webcam that's looking down on the panels. You can get to that if you go to cityofsandpoint.com and look around for the webcam for the Jeff Jones Town Square, and you can see people checking out the installation, as well as when you're visiting there, you might want to remember that you're on camera, candid camera. Also this week, there's been continuing work on other big projects in town. at Memorial Field. The last part of the old grandstands came down on last Tuesday morning. They've now been completely removed. Where the grandstands once stood is just empty space now. And the groundwork for the new larger stadium will be beginning. And that also has a live webcam on it, which you can see if you go to stadiumcam.sandpointonline.com. It's a you can keep an eye on the all during this building season from now until the grandstands are completed in spring. You'll be able to see and watch that via the webcam. Also downtown, the project to revert all the downtown streets to two-way traffic is on track for completion this fall. Pretty torn up on Fifth Avenue right now, so you want to watch out when you're driving along Fifth Avenue and drive with some caution. And then we're going to have a completely new traffic scheme in our downtown with two-way streets everywhere. Terry, as a law enforcement professional, what do you predict a certain number of fender benders that might evolve out of this as people get used to the new traffic pattern?
To start out with, probably, you know, people getting used to driving the one ways and they change back to two ways, it's going to take a while.
It will, yeah. I think we've been trained to look like if you're, you know, crossing church to look, you know, just to the west. And now you're going to need to look both directions or you're going to be at risk of a fender bender. So hopefully people will take this period as we adjust to the new traffic flow with some caution and slow down in the downtown as well. One more thing I wanted to mention that went on around town this week was we now have an official ambassador, Sandpoint. The Visit Sandpoint group and the Panhandle Animal Shelter combined to do an ambassador contest over the course of the summer. They had 59 dogs that entered to be named the official ambassador dog for Sandpoint. It was a fundraiser for the animal shelter, and actually it ended up raising a little over $2,400 for the animal shelter. So that was a great thing for the animal shelter. The five finalists were chosen based on votes, and then they were drawn. It was actually a random drawing, so every dog had a chance. And then the finalists last Thursday at the Panel Animal Shelter's monthly Yappy Hour appeared before a panel of judges that included the mayor and the Chamber of Commerce president and Mandy Evans from the animal shelter. They got together and talked to the contestants or the nominees, and they picked a blue heeler mix named Rosie, who's owned by Lindsay Simler. And Rosie is now the Sandpoint, Idaho official ambassador dog or ambassador dog. And you'll probably get a chance to see Rosie out and about town with Lindsay over the course of the next year that she's going to be the reigning ambassador dog. And I want to mention a couple other things that are going to be going on. This is, again, the KRFY Morning Show, and we're talking with Bonner County Sheriff candidate Terry Ford. This is the first of weekly morning shows that are going to be devoted to the candidates in the election, the local candidates in contested elections. And next week, we're going to be talking with the House seat District A candidates. And that is actually, we're talking to also the District 7 Senate candidates. So we're actually going to do about a 90-minute morning show next week because we're going to be dealing with four different candidates, the two candidates for the House seat, which are Jessica Chilcott and Priscilla Giddings, the two candidates for the Senate seat in District 7, Ken Myers and Carl Crabtree. All four of those candidates have confirmed that they're going to be here. So it should be a good discussion of the issues of importance for the state legislature. That's next Wednesday here on the morning show at 8 a.m. And then we will be continuing on with our local decision series for each Wednesday up until the election. And with that, we're going to dive into our interview with our candidate that we have in for the sheriff's office, Terry Ford. But before we do that, We're going to take a short musical break here. This is just going to be only a two-minute song. Give us a chance to get arranged for the interview. This is The Beatles. It's Love Me Do. And we're playing it because this premiered in 1962 on this day. Ended up spending 26 weeks on the top 20s chart. So here's a little bow to history. We'll be back in just a little over 2 minutes. And that again was The Beatles' Love Me Do, which premiered on this day in 1962. That's a long time back. Again, this is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm your host, Chris Bessler, and I'm in the studio this morning with our coverage of the sheriff's race. We have with us the independent candidate, write-in candidate, Terry Ford, and he is opposing the incumbent, Darrell Wheeler, in the November 8th election. Sheriff Wheeler was invited multiple times onto the show. He wasn't able to make it, so we're proceeding with only Mr. Ford today. And Terry, thank you again for being in.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate the chance to come in and talk.
And I'd like to start off with a chance for you to acquaint our listeners with your background. Tell us about your experience and your qualifications for seeking the office of sheriff, please.
Well, my background is I've got 35 years law enforcement experience. Started out in Post Falls as a reserve and part-time officer. Then I went to work for Idaho State Police, and I was stationed up here as a resident troop in Bonner County. I worked up here for about 25 years for Idaho State Police right here in Bonner County. I've attended the Idaho Reserve Academy, the Idaho State Police Fifth Stress Academy, and I was also post-certified.
And how long have you lived in Bonner County itself?
Right now, a little over 30 years.
Okay. And you were a patrol officer with Idaho State Police?
Yes, I was a resident patrol officer stationed right here in Sandpoint.
Okay. Married... Kids, what's your...
Well, I'm married to a wonderful woman named Debbie. I've got a daughter living in Florida and a granddaughter in Florida. Makes it a little tough to visit.
Yeah. Well, but a good place to visit in winter, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. And are you involved in any nonprofit groups or service or professional organizations here in town?
Not at this time. Well, I am a member of the Injectors Car Club, and that's about it.
Okay, and didn't they just have a show?
Just had a car show.
Yeah, yes. And it's growing, right?
It's growing. It's growing real fast.
I think they had 100 cars or more this year.
Yeah, I think it was 100. I think he said 105 cars.
Yeah. So it's getting up there. It's lost in the 50s. Better be careful. It's.
I don't think we'll ever be competition for that.
Yeah, that's one is pretty huge. So I'd like to start out with the first question. You did run in the primary.
Yes.
And you lost on the Republican primary to Sheriff Wheeler. So why have you decided to continue with a write-in campaign?
Well, I ran against Darrell on the Republican ticket in the primary. I was hoping that I could take the primary. I came up a little short on the votes due to, a few things. It was close. I looked at, calling it quits then, but then after talking to the citizens that were actually talking to me, trying to talk me into run for the primary, nothing's changed. If things had changed, it had been a different story, but nothing's changed. I keep having people, I've actually had people coming into my driveway, into my house, telling me stories and begging me to run for sheriff. And after I see what's going on in the county, I've listened to the citizens regarding their concerns about the law enforcement. And truthfully, some of the things that I've learned was, the people's, they desire more attention to the drugs, the property crimes. And a big concern is the visibility of the sheriff's office.
Well, let's roll into that with a question. What do you consider the biggest issues that the sheriff's race should be concerned with?
Well, I'm running on honesty and integrity. and leadership. There's a lot of leadership problems in the, but the biggest concerns that the citizens have talked to me about, and I've talked to many citizens, is the drug traffic. The drug traffic, the property crimes are a big problem. Most of the property crimes are drug related, you know, people stealing things to support their habit. And a lot of these go uninvestigated. So the people out there are wondering what they can do. All they get is they may have a deputy come out and take a look. Excuse me. But that's as far as it goes. They get a report number and they turn it into their insurance company. I had one gentleman come out, actually came to my place and was talking about he has a business, and his shop had been broken into 7 times. He actually set up game cameras and had photos of the people carrying things out of his shop. Nothing was done. Another person, one of his businesses had people on video of breaking in and stealing. Nothing was done.
So how would you address that specific problem as sheriff? What would you do differently?
Well, like I said, most of these crimes are drug related, and I'm talking cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin. Usually you don't get this problem with the marijuana. And again, they're stealing to support their habit. So there, if we start working on the drug problem, the burglaries and stuff are going to go down. If you actually investigate these crimes, you can get a chance to gather evidence. We can catch the people that are committing these crimes, and we can arrest them. But then once you get them in the system, there are ways through the mental health agencies where you can possibly get these people help. And of course, that would be to hopefully get them off the drugs and help them become productive citizens. Now, you wouldn't be able to do that on all of them, but there are chances we can get them the help they need to become productive citizens. Mm-hmm. We can't do that if we're not getting him in the system.
Mm-hmm. How would you characterize, I mean, you mentioned methamphetamines, I don't know, scuttlebutt, I have nothing more than that, but I heard there's actually a growing heroin problem.
There's a growing heroin problem, there's a growing cocaine problem, and there is a growing methamphetamine problem. I thought when they passed the laws on the pseudoephedrine, where you have to sign to get it, the methamphetamine would go away, and it did partially go away, but it's coming back.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel the current administration is failing to put enough resources on the drug problem?
From what I can understand, yes. I've talked to a lot of the citizens down in Bonner County, and it's just not in this area. It's up Priest Lake. It's over in the Priest River area, Hope, Clark Fork area, and they're all saying the same thing, is the drugs are running rampant. I've had a lot of people explain to me that they've actually contacted the sheriff's office, you know, explaining what's going on. We have traffic coming in from, you know, all hours of the night, comes to this house, it's there 5 to 10 minutes, it leaves, you know, all hours of the night, which is a good indicator there may be some drug traffic going on. They've got license numbers, they've taken photos, and nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to other potential issues in this race. Are there other issues that are driving your candidacy?
Well, there are other issues. There's one of the big issues, which it surprised me, was, and I think it's great, is the youth outreach program. Right now, Bonner County does not have a youth outreach program. I would like to start a school resource officer program with the school districts, you know, with cooperation with school districts. There is funding for a school resource officer. Well, the school districts are willing to pay up to 60% of the officer's wages. Okay. And then the sheriff's office would pay the additional 40. Well, you get an officer where you're only paying 40% of their wages, and then during the summer when school's out, you have him on patrol. This is when you actually need another patrol officer. And another thing with this, with the school resource officer, they build the trust of the kids. We're having a rash of suicides. The school resource officer, he can get in there, he can talk to the kids, befriend the kids, let them, you know, let them know he's there to help. And this way the kids would feel comfortable coming, talking to him if they have a problem. Well, I think this student here is having some problems. He's not, you know, he explained like he's not acting like he usually does. He's going into it. He's not, he's just behaving differently. And that would give this school resource officer a chance to maybe contact this child and see if there's a problem there before it goes too far. Another thing I'd like to see is I would encourage the officers to participate in the youth sports programs. That also builds mutual respect and insight for everybody involved, you know, the teachers, the students, the officers. That was one of the big issues that a lot of the citizens have.
It is more outreach to youth?
More outreach to youth, which would also working with the teenage suicide problem. There's a lot of stuff that we can do, a lot more things we can do to help the students out, especially with the suicide rate.
Does the Sandpoint City Police have anything like that, a program like that at
yes,
all?
Yes, Sandpoint City Police Department has a student resource officer in the high school and in the local schools. Priest River has a student resource officer in the high school, and I believe the grade school over in Priest River. But on this side of the county, there is none. Mm-hmm. The school resource officer would stay pretty busy because he would be doing several schools. But if you get the right person in there, it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things you mentioned earlier was you'd like to see a level of strong leadership in the sheriff's department.
Yes.
Describe your view of what that entails. What does good law enforcement leadership consist of, and what makes a sheriff effective in a rural environment like Bonner County?
Well, good leadership is you got to lead by example. You can't just say, okay, I want you to do this and not do the same thing that you're asking your officers to do. You've got to be able to show them that you're willing to do the work that you're asking them to do. You've got to listen to the officers. There's a lot of very intelligent people working there at the sheriff's office, and they've got a lot of good ideas. If you bring these people in and talk to them and ask them for their ideas, and you know, they may not all work, but they feel, you know, they have a chance to actually have a say in the way the department's ran. You have the meetings, you set it up, okay, this is what we need to do as far as special programs like maybe Emphasis Patrol, which are, you know, get several officers together and they go work an area for maybe drugs or something like that, or you get together and you go, you know, you do something in the community to build, it builds camaraderie in the office, and it shows that the sheriff himself is not afraid to get out here and do this. But to sit in the office and do absolutely nothing and send the orders down to like the undersheriff or a captain or lieutenant, I want this done. No, you've got to get out and get involved. The sheriff himself has to get out and get involved in the public, in the area. Go out and talk to the citizens. Set up meetings. And I think the Bob Bussey, when he was the undersheriff, started a program, which I think is fantastic. And it's called the Coffee with Cops. Set it up on, you know, set a date in the, like on the sheriff's website. Okay, on such and such a date, I'm going to go, I'll be up in Priest Lake and I'm going to have coffee with cops. I'll be there from this time to this time. So if any of the citizens in the area want to come talk, I'll be here. I'll be here to answer your questions.
You just like to see more of that
more presence in the
community.
More of the presence.
How would you judge the morale within the office among the officers?
Well, right now, the morale is fairly low. And, you know, everybody calls the M word, and it seems like in every every time there's an election, the morale word is brought out. We were told the last interview we had that the morale has never been higher. Well, I've talked to several of the deputies, current and former deputies, and they said it's probably as low as it's been. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go by what I've been told by the deputies.
Okay. I want to remind our listeners that this is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm your host, Chris Bessler, and we're speaking this morning with the Bonner County Sheriff candidate, Terry Ford, who is running as a write-in candidate. Terry, let's talk a little bit more about the kind of the big role that the sheriff plays in managing the department. And specifically, do you think the sheriff's department is adequately has an adequate budget? And do you think the budget is used wisely?
Well, I've been studying the budget. I've actually got a copy of the budget. I've attended a lot of the budget hearing meetings. And at this time, I believe the budget is adequate. I have actually, looking through and studying, I've actually found some ways the department could save some money. The thing I would like to see in the budget was that there's no, I'll say, for instance, to save money, when the vehicles wear out, okay, then you have to contact the commissioners. They have to go through to see if they can find enough money to replace all of the vehicles. Well, I was thinking maybe look at a program where you rotate vehicles out every year or two, you know, a few of the vehicles at a time. That way it would save a lot of money on the taxpayers at one time. There's other things like there's a lot of grants out there that are available to help in situations like the sheriff's, you know, with buying equipment and things like that. But you have to be careful on the grants because a lot of times there's things that are required to do that it just makes it so tough you can't use the grant. But there's different ways to bring money in to support different programs. And I think that needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. Let's say the budget stays right where it's at. Okay. Because that's a reality that you might face. Are there ways you would spend the money differently? Or bearing in mind that if you decide to put more money in one area, it's going to have to come from another area.
Well, yes, and that's true. There's several budgets there. You go, you know, you got the patrol budget, you've got the jail budget, you've got, and if you have a extremely busy year, you're going to run over on overtime, and you may have to borrow some from one budget to fill in the overtime budget. But there's other ways to cut the overtime too. If you stay up to staff, you know, have your full staff, then you're going to be working less overtime. When you're three and four officers down, if somebody gets sick, then this other officer has to fill in, and there's never a chance to work like comp time. If you've got a full staff and say, for instance, somebody doesn't show, he's sick or on vacation, then you have enough staff there to fill in for him and not raising the overtime. But there's things like the comp time. They could use comp time to keep the overtime budget down. There's, and again, going back to the grants, there's a lot of different grants out there people can use to buy the equipment. And there's a lot of different grants to work with programs, to start programs in the sheriff's office. Mm.
Do our deputies make an adequate wage? I know that in terms of keeping good people on staff and paying them a competitive wage with what they can get elsewhere is important. And that can be a detriment here.
Yes, it can be. They make a fair wage. They can actually go to Coeur d'Alene or Spokane and probably step up $6 to $8 an hour. But for the area here with the population, they make a fairly decent wage. I've been told, and I haven't got a chance to look at it, that since the medical insurance price has gone up, that they're actually making less now than they were, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago due to the step up in the insurance prices. So that's something I would like to look at.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of something that's fairly budget related, I'd say one action by the incumbent Sheriff Wheeler that came under some scrutiny was a decision in 2013 to purchase an armored personnel carrier at a price of $220,000. Pretty big cost, and that came in for some criticism, but the sheriff's spokesman at that time contended that it was needed for potential active shooter situations. What's your position on that? Was that a good purchase for the department to make?
Well, I've not seen the vehicle myself. With their SWAT team, they do, in order to keep them safe, they do need a vehicle, an armored type vehicle to get in and out of the situations. Myself, I think it was a little spendy, but then again, I've not got a chance to price these and see how much they run. One thing about it is this vehicle will last a long time. And will we be able to assist other agencies with it as far as when it comes to calling out SWAT and things like that? But you've got to keep your officers safe. Again, you know, I think it might have been something out there a little cheaper. But like I say, I've not had a chance to really look into this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Remind our listeners again, this is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm your host, Chris Bessler, talking with the sheriff candidate, the write-in sheriff candidate, Terry Ford. We're going to take a three-minute musical break here, and then we will be back because there are quite a number of other questions that we'd like to dive into. This is the Shook Twins, local pair, and with a fairly recent song that they have. It's called A While. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
I could, baby, I think that I could lie.
And that was the Shook Twins from Sandpoint, Idaho, with one of their recent really nice songs, A While. This is the KRFY Morning Show. I'm your host, Chris Bessler. And again, we're in the studio with the Bonner County Sheriff candidate, Terry Ford, who is running as a write-in. We did invite the incumbent, his opponent, Darrell Wheeler, and Sheriff Wheeler was not able to make it. So we're speaking only with Mr. Ford today. And on that note, Terry, let's jump back in with some questions. And one of the things that flared up last spring, I believe, was a controversy regarding a fake Terry Ford campaign website that a former undersheriff in the sheriff's department created. And I never actually got a look at that website myself, but it purported to be representing you in the campaign. And I would like to get your response to the fact that, you know, this fake website was out there and what your take on that is.
Well, that's correct. There was Undersheriff Hale was during a primary campaign, built a bogus website trying to discredit me. The website tried to portray me in a negative light to the voters. And on top of that, the site itself was actually traced through a backlink through Sheriff Wheeler's personal website. Since then, you know, Sheriff Wheeler has not admitted responsibility or acknowledged even a brief lapse of judgment, but he's not even apologized. He's actually denied publicly that he had anything to do with it. Right now at this present time, it is being investigated by the Idaho Attorney General's office. And this is another thing as far as leadership. This would have never happened under my shift. I would have had it taken care of long before now. It would have never happened. That's what part of the leadership that I'm talking about.
Well, you say it was traced through a backlink to Sheriff Wheeler. It was somehow connected to Sheriff Wheeler's own website?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, I wish Sheriff Wheeler was here to respond to that, but
so
since he wasn't unable to make it, well, we'll push on with some more questions here. one of which is another issue that arose actually last year in a letter to Governor Butch Otter. Sheriff Wheeler said resettlement of Syrian refugees was a threat to the safety of Idahoans, and he asked the governor to take a stand and refused to allow resettlement in Idaho. This was a big issue, potential Syrian refugee resettlement in the state and in Bonner County. It was a pretty hot issue before the Bonner County commissioners last year. My question to you would be, do you think that was an appropriate role for the sheriff to take? A, and B, do you consider refugees a threat in Bonner County?
Well, I myself do not think that that was the appropriate role. The refugees, if they're going to bring them in, the sheriff hasn't got a lot to say about it. As far as being a threat, it's possible. But the thing is the sheriff's position is to protect the people, all of the citizens. It doesn't matter if they're refugees or if they're local citizens. And you cannot stand there and say, no, you cannot come into my county. Myself, I would rather see them, the federal government, support our troops before we bring more people in to take care of. I would rather see that happen and spend the time and the money to help our homeless and help our troops. Mm-hmm. But if they do come in, they will get the same type of care through the law enforcement, and they have the same rights as what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the concern that the folks opposed to that have is that there could be a terrorist lurking amid
them. Yeah, I agree, and that's a good possibility. It could be. But then again, you can't just say you're not allowed to come in here. Mm-hmm. For one thing, I don't think the sheriff has that authority. That would be up to the governor and higher up.
Kind of on a similar topic, there have been mass shootings, of course, all around the country at schools, movie theaters, public places. They've hit the Northwest pretty hard in the last year. There was a shooting in Roseburg, Oregon, where a gunman killed nine people at the university, at the community college there. And in Washington State, this just in the past year, in 2016, there have been five different incidents where gunmen have killed anywhere from three to five people. Idaho, actually, doing a little bit of research on this, has been spared that, as well as Hawaii, the only two states in the country that haven't had mass shootings recently or in the last several years. But that doesn't allay the potential for that to happen here. What are things that the county sheriff can do to help prevent that sort of thing, or to be ready for that should it happen?
Well, and we are lucky here in the state of Idaho so far, but it could happen. And this is another thing that I would like to see, and I will do when I get in office, is to train with all the local agencies, not only Sandpoint, but would be Priest River, would be with agencies in Boundary County, Kootenai County. There's an active shooter program. And what it is it teaches all of these officers to how to respond and what to do when it comes to an active shooter. We call these mass shootings like this, when we get a call, it's called an active shooter. So if all the departments are trained alike, you get a call, just say, for instance, you get a call down here at the middle school. Now, this is just for instance. There's going to be several different officers show up, and it could be from several different departments. But you know when you go in there, you are all trained exactly alike. You know exactly what to do when you get in there, and you do it. So in order to do this, you have to train together, and you have to train on a regular basis. So that's one way to work the situation and put a stop to it.
In your experience with the state police, were there some programs that they were involved in for this sort of situation?
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Yes. We've had a lot of training with the active shooter program. We trained with state. We trained with several other agencies.
Speaking about shootings, police shootings are a big news item, especially with a lot of urban areas where there have been shootings by police officers of of people. It's been very racially charged in some of these urban environments because white officers have been shooting some black citizens. But Sandpoint hasn't escaped that controversy because we had a shooting here with a death of Jeanette O'Reilly that was questioned by a lot of citizens who were able to see video of the event. This was a little over a year and a half ago, I believe, in Sandpoint. And she was armed with a knife and she was very distraught. Do you think current law enforcement training and procedures are sufficient, or could steps be taken to minimize the use of deadly force in these sorts of situations that might be domestic violence or just, traffic stops where something goes awry?
Well, I've heard about the case that you're talking about, but I don't know enough about it as far.
And it was a city police matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
My thing is before I like to talk about it, I like to know, the whole, both sides to see what had happened. From what I've understood, or what I've heard about it, I just don't know enough about it to really comment on it.
She was armed with a knife.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was very visible in the video, actually. Mm-hmm. She was a very small woman, and she weighed less than 100 pounds.
And see, this all, goes to it. But, if there was a taser, and I've been able to use the taser, I'm for that. But then again, like I say, I do not know enough about this case to really comment on it.
How about just in general? Do officers need more training, do you feel, for dealing with domestic violence issues or maybe people that have mental problems where deadly force is sometimes used but could possibly be avoided?
Well, there's always room for training. As far as you're talking the mental health, there is the CIT program through, we call it NAMI, where they come in there and talk to, they teach the officers what to look for and how to handle a mentally challenged case. Before, the only way we could handle it is arrest them and take them to jail. But now there's different ways to handle this. And the officers are trained on what to look for and how to address the situation. Now, as far as deadly force issues, cannot get enough training on deadly force issues. Traffic stops, domestics, things like the mentally challenged, that should be an ongoing training. As far as traffic stops, if you walk up on a car and somebody pulls a gun, how to handle that. We've been trained, and we had a lot of training on it with state police where we would actually do traffic stops. We'd actually put somebody in a car, use paintballs, and you try to shoot the officer, the person in the car for the training. This way it makes it more real to the deputies and the officers and what's really going on and what can happen. Mm-hmm. But if we had more real life type training like this, I think it would help a lot.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're getting close to the end of our show here, and I want to, Terry, give you an opportunity to make a last statement. Let's ask one more question, and that is, you're running as a write-in candidate.
Yes.
So what does that mean for voters? What do they have to do if they decided they wanted to vote for you when they get in the voting booth?
Well, I've heard from quite a few people saying, well, I see your signs out, but I thought you lost in the primary, which I did. And I explained to them that I'm a write-in candidate, and a few of the people don't understand what that is. What that is you go to the polls, and for a write-in, you'll have a box there for the sheriff. It'll have Sheriff Wheeler's name there. And then there's a line underneath for write-in. You have to fill in the box there completely and then write my name in, Terry Ford. And that way it votes for me. I appreciate your inviting me here to talk, and I would appreciate all the votes I can, the help I can get at the polls.
And if folks want to learn more about you, do you have a website or a Facebook page?
I do. I have a Facebook page, and I also have a website. It's at Ford for Sheriff, TerryFordForSheriff.com. And if you have any questions whatsoever, there's a phone number. Call me. Mm-hmm. I'd be more than happy to answer your questions, or you can email me. I'll email that answers mm-hmm. your questions.
And there is going to be a candidates forum on November 2nd for the all the candidates of the local offices. And will you be there for that one?
Oh, yes, yeah. yes. And we're also going to have a few meet and greets in the outlying areas here in Sandpoint, Priest River, Priest Lake, Clark Fork, Hope, and we'll be putting them out on Facebook also.
Okay. Any last words?
I appreciate your inviting me to the show, and I would hope people would help me out at the polls and vote for me.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's Terry Ford. He's the write-in candidate for Bonner County Sheriff. He faces incumbent Republican Darrell Wheeler on November 8th. And we're going to take a short musical break. I'm going to come back after the break and tell you about some things going on in town, especially one event that I think is particularly cool. It's Indie Author Day. It's happening at the Sandpoint Library on Saturday with a ton of great programs and speakers, the local writers talking about the process of writing and getting published. First, though, we're going to take a 3-minute break here. This is Josh Ritter with his song Idaho. And Josh is a Moscow, Idaho guy, so he knows whereof he sings. Here he is.
All that love, all those mistakes. What else can a poor man make? That I give up a life for crime. I gave it to a friend of mine. Something else was on my mind. The only ghost I'm haunted by. I hear her howling down below. Idaho, Idaho.
And that was Josh Ritter. He's a Moscow, Idaho boy and singing about his home state, Idaho. This is Chris Bessler. I'm here on the KRFY Morning Show. We just had a very good conversation with the Bonner County Sheriff candidate running as a write-in, Terry Ford. And I want to mention that we are going to be doing a series of shows on the Morning Show, the Wednesday show, that are going to be covering all the races. Next Wednesday, we're going to be covering the District 7 House and Senate races. On the following Wednesday, October 19th, we're going to be covering the District 1 House candidates, who are Sage Dixon and Stephen Hallett. The following Wednesday after that, we're going to be covering the District 1 House Seat A candidates, Heather Scott and Kate McAllister. And then on November 2nd, we're going to be talking with the Senate candidates for the District 1 state legislature, Sean Keel and Steve Tanner. So please be tuning in every Wednesday here at 8 o'clock a.m. in order to hear our election coverage and get informed about who to vote for. Something else that's going on with KRFY, we're doing the community radio online auction. You can go preview the goods that we have available right now. If you go to KRFY.org, you'll be able to see there are a ton of local businesses and individuals that have donated a lot of interesting and exciting auction items, including Caribbean vacations, Seattle Seahawk tickets, sailing adventures, books, dinners, massages, a concert with Wild Honey, and a whole bunch more. So go check that out on our website, KRFY.org. You can take a look at the items right now. The auction is going to open on October 16th, but you can get a sneak preview right now. Wanted to mention a big event coming up this Saturday. It's the Indie Author Day. It is happening at the East Bonner County Library. You know, we're well known here for our arts community. Most people think of visual arts. And, of course, we have a lot of great visual artists. We have great performing artists. We have great musicians. We also have a good group of folks that are doing literary arts as well. And this event is going to be running from 9 a.m. up until about 3:30 p.m. They're going to have speakers on how to write a compelling story, how to research your historical novel, presentation of historical periods, how to find your voice as a writer, how to market your book, how to get published. There's going to be a publisher's panel. There's going to be local author book readings, and a bunch of folks that you may know that are local writers, including Bill Collier, Sandy Compton, Ginny Leo, Jim Payne, are going to be some of the speakers here. Get more information about that at the Bonner County Library website, the East Bonner County Library website. Again, that's running from 9 until 3:30 p.m. at the library. And if you're interested in the writing arts, that would be a good one to catch. And with that, our show is come to conclusion. We're going to go out right now with a song by Steve Miller, the Steve Miller Band, The Joker. And we're going to play that because Steve Miller's birthday is today. He was born in 1943, so that makes him, 73 years old. But he's produced some great music. Have a terrific week, and we'll see you here at the KRFY Morning Show again next Wednesday. Bye now.